and still have passion and joy in my heart to want to worship the Lord.
Amen.
The way you guys are showing it. Now, y'all in here may be thinking, I don't know about this style of music, but I'm going to tell you what, when we get there, our style of music's going to be out of time too.
Yes.
Things change. Things happen. But the thing that doesn't change is God's Word. It's the same yesterday as it is today as it's going to be tomorrow. Amen?
Amen?
We've been talking about the lion's den. We've been talking about what happens to us as we live our life and what we encounter as we live for Christ. And what those lion's dens can look like, or the fiery furnaces that come our way, or trials and tribulations. And so far, I don't know about you, but the gist that I'm getting from the lessons from the scripture that we've been reading is faith, faith, faith. Faith is critical, faith is crucial to get through the trials and tribulations that are going to come our way. Amen? We had a wonderful, wonderful couple in our church up until the husband passed away this spring and went home to be with the Lord. And I was sitting here just thinking and listening, and it's funny how I do that every now and then. Instead of just talk, I do a little thinking and listening. And I was recounting back to a Wednesday night Bible study, and this gentleman's wife was just going on about how good God is and about all the miracles and about all the good stuff that was happening in her life because of Jesus. And when she got done talking, I said, "My goodness, Jan, you're just glowing tonight." And her husband, Don, piped up and he says, "Don't let that glow fool you. That's just the oil of Olay."
Oh.
And he said it just as smooth as could be. And you know, this coming from a guy that wasn't in the church when I first got there, but began to come to church with his wife and came to know the Lord and was passionate about the Lord, loved the Lord. Don was a stud in the Edmore High School days. Holds a lot of records when it comes to football and track over there at Edmore still to this day. And the one thing I want to share about Don that I remember the most and am always going to hold on to the most was when he was passing away. Don had a major stroke. His wife found him on the floor in the house, and he was, I don't want to go to the hospital. She's going to call the ambulance. "No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to get up and walk out to the car, and I'm going to get there on my own." Well, we know what happens when you have a major stroke and you don't get after it right away. It progresses. And that stroke progressed, and Jan gave me a call when she was on the way to the hospital, and I booked it over there and met her at the hospital, and we were in there, and you could just see that things were happening. And that process took approximately 4 days before Don went home to be with the Lord. But I want to share something with you real quick about what faith is and what it looks like and what it means, and also how it had an impact on me when it came to experiencing the Holy Spirit. That woman stayed with her husband the whole time in that hospital. And there was another lady that went to be by her side, and she happened to be here in church last night. And I could tell that when I left that hospital, God was in control. But I'm telling you, when I got there the next morning, I experienced something that was just remarkable. They had been in that hospital room praying to God, reading scripture, and singing all night long. And when I walked into that hospital room, I couldn't do anything but weep. As soon as I walked through the door, and there was nothing that I'm not used to handling, but I know when I'm in the presence of God and what that presence does to me, and it humbled me. And I couldn't even talk because I was moved by the Holy Spirit in that capacity so strong. What a peace. And what an experience for them to remember in the midst of the sting of death who God is and how great He is. To bring that comfort. Jan didn't know what she was going to do if Don lived through this. They didn't have things prepared that they could afford assisted living or afford this or that or anything about it. She had no plan. But God did. Don accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so when it came time to do his funeral, it was a celebration. No shadow of a doubt at who and where he is right now with Christ. That's where my hope lays. And, you know, those are faith-building experiences for me to go through. The same as what my day was like today. I couldn't sleep last night, so 4 o'clock in the morning I got up and I thought, well, I'm not going to wake up my wife and my little girl trying to make coffee, and nobody gets up over here early enough to have coffee that quick, and that's not a complaint. That is not a complaint. I'm the problem. I get up too early. I thought, well, I'm going to just drive in and see if I can find a cup of coffee, and in the meantime, just meet with God over there at Ferry Beach, I went in to get my cup of coffee and reached in. I didn't have my wallet. I couldn't pay for that cup of coffee. So I come back here, get my wallet, go back down there. And it was good. I sat there on the beach, walked that park, prayed, talked to the Lord. Man, what a great way to start the day. Even though the sun wasn't coming up, the light was coming up. God was in control. And then to have that breakfast over there at Ferry Beach, I got to be a part of the guys coming in here at, 5 o'clock, 5:30, and it was just amazing to see the camaraderie and the fellowship taking place, but yet everybody knew what their job was and how they were going to go about doing it, and it's just remarkable to see how people can step up into ministry and want to serve and do things in that capacity, and so grateful to see that happen, and I didn't have to follow along and be a part of it. Out the door they went, and over they went, and man, when I got there, it was just great. It was awesome. And we came back here, and we had our morning conference, and I'll tell you what really charges me is when I see people getting serious about their faith. But I ask you a question this morning in the conference about what's it like to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you said, I can't tell you right now because I am. Oh man, did that speak volumes to me, and I was touched. I know that God was with you, because after that conference was done, to experience and see what some men were doing, going to prayer, going to God, dropping to their knees and being able to be a part of that, there was prayer happening. And I'm telling you what, to me, that's what this is all about, is people coming together, not ashamed, not worried what other people may be thinking of them, but saying, hey, we got this issue going on right now, and we need to pray. And there's urgency in that, praying. And I'm telling you, that just pumps me up and it encourages me. But I'm going to tell you another thing. When that prayer is happening, I have faith in the prayer that's being offered up, that God is answering it in His will and in His time. I have no doubt about that. Yesterday I came walking across the yard here, and so today it takes me a little bit of time to figure out what people are doing and what's happening around here, but eventually I get it. But yesterday I come walking across here, and in this gazebo there was prayer happening before the service at a certain time. And so I thought, I'm going to check that out again today, and I'm just going to slide in there and kind of invite myself in. Well, I didn't have to invite myself in. I was welcomed in. And come a certain time, boom, there it was. People, I'm telling you, I don't know who all is praying, but I know people are praying, and they're praying for an encounter with God when they come into this place. I'm blessed to be able to be a part of that. And I don't take that for granted. And, you know, it's just amazing to see what God is doing and how He's doing it all around us. But do we recognize it when it's happening, or are we so busy going here and going there, or thinking we got to be here, go there, and get this done and get that accomplished, that we're failing to take the time to see what's happening? That old saying is true. We got to slow down and smell the roses. You know, today, we got back from the pastor's meal that the state of Michigan, and as far as I'm concerned, you people gave to us, and we thank you for that. We appreciate it. It was a good time. I felt sorry for Bill and Jolene, Pastor Bill and his wife Jolene. They were sitting across the table from my daughter Kenzie, and she just happened to take a drink of her milk, and boy, I don't know, this never happens, but it did today. Out her nose it came. Oh, man. But that's my girl. And I'm so proud of you, honey. I love you. Thanks. Came back this afternoon. Took a trip down. You know, of all the things happening here with the young people, I'm impressed and amazed that that merry-go-round is still the most popular thing on the park. I'm serious. The kids loaded up on that. They wanted me to push them. I mean, Kenzie and I went down there, and the next thing I know, we've got all kinds of kids around us, and we just had a blast. And I just loved talking to those kids, and it just kept going and going and going, and finally Kenzie and I, we said, well, we better go over here and check on Mom. And you know, please be praying for these ladies that are addicted to picking up rocks over here. I walked over here to check on my wife to make sure she's all right, and I thought probably she could be the only one out there. No, I could count three or four other ladies out there with her. For me, from where I stood, it looked like sheep grazing on the hillside. It was far enough away that I could just see those bodies, and it put me in mind of sheep grazing on the side of the hill. And here they are out picking up those rocks, but they're enjoying it and they're loving it and having a great time. And I'm glad that these resources are all around us to do that. But do we count the blessings that God has put in our life, the good blessings, the great blessings, and hold on to them? You know, the chance to talk to people one-on-one. I stand up here, and I don't know if you people are getting it. I don't know if you're liking it. I don't know if if this is working for you. But what I do appreciate is knowing that God is working. When people come up to me one-on-one and say, boy, what you were saying or what was happening, I want you to know it's not me saying it. It is God working through me. And so thank you for listening to God as he works through we the pastors or you the people, because I'm hearing him speak through you to me also. And I'm grateful for that. Just grateful as can be. Grateful for our youth leaders. Grateful for our children's ministry people. Grateful for the people and I can't say enough about the food. The food is just fantastic up here. And the breakfast this morning, the food down there was just awesome. And before we get into the word, God has blessed me. Last night after the service, one of those three people that I have referred to that God put in my life years ago was here at camp, and we had the opportunity to come to the altar together and just talk to God, spend time together like we did years ago, and I'm telling you what, that was so good. Both of us, since God took me into ministry and parted our ways, both of us have commented, we have looked for those relationships out there that we had, and we just haven't been able to find them. And so to be able to come back together and meet here at this special place for us, the altar, and be with God and know that he's with us, those are memories that I'm going to take with me when I go into heaven. God is good. And all the time. Faith is what we need. I love that song. I don't know how it goes. You don't want to hear me sing it, but holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. See, you don't want to hear me sing. But those little verses, they keep me going through the day. And so when I get to hear people sing them the way they need to be sung, not the way I sing them, I am touched and I am blessed. And thank you, Miss Ann, for letting us be a part of the gifts that God has given to you. You got passion, man. I hope you take that in the right way, because I know you're not a man, but that's a statement. You got passion. And it's contagious. This woman is blessed. Faith. Why do we do what we do? We have our likes, we have our dislikes. We're people. I remember being in a church, small groups are the big thing, and of course, small groups got established, and small groups were happening. And you know, the great thing about a small group is that you can be very effective in a small group when it comes time to sharing. But one of the negatives I saw with a small group setting is you had your popular small groups and your unpopular small groups. And what I'm saying is, cliques establish themselves in the church and in the body of Christ also. And people find themselves saying, well, I don't want to be over here with these people. I want to be over here where the cool people are. Oh, yeah. Well, when do we start looking at it as, I want to be where the faithful are? I think we're going to be amazed and surprised. Jesus says those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. We're going to be surprised when it gets right down to it, who's going to be able to stand and who's not. I hope I got the strength to stand. And I know if I have that strength to stand, I know where that strength's going to come from. It's going to come through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to read to you tonight from Matthew 17, beginning in verse 14 through 21. We're going to jump around tonight with some scripture reading. And we're going to talk about faith. We know that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to have faith to endure the things that they had to go through. Without that faith, they would not have made it. They would have crumbled. They would have failed. But faith is what sustained them. And that same faith that sustained Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is going to be the same faith that today is going to strengthen us and give us the ability to do what God has called us to do, which is live for Christ. Amen? In verse 14 it begins, and it says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" Isn't it amazing that this man came to Jesus kneeling down? He didn't sit back and say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm over here, come here." He knew where the power was. And he knew how to present himself to the power humbly. Remember that last night? We need to humble ourselves. And he recognized where the power was. And when he got in the presence of the power, what did he do? He knelt down to respect the power. I think we have a definite problem in our day and age of giving enough reverence to the Lord. These people are getting it. They're putting the emphasis where it is. You want to know why? They're desperate. His boy's got an issue and he wants it to get taken care of. He brings it to the disciples, and that'd be like in our day and age. You need an issue, you're going to a pastor. The pastor's praying. It isn't getting taken care of. Well, what's the deal? How many of us get discouraged when we think prayer isn't getting taken care of? When prayer isn't getting answered, we get real discouraged. I've been praying to God, and nothing's happening. Well, the same thing happened to the disciples, didn't it? And what does Jesus say? Some things that we're going to be praying about are going to require prayer and fasting. And there are a lot of people out here that don't want anything to do with fasting. A lot of people probably don't even understand what fasting is. But here is a boy that's an epileptic, and what does Jesus do? He rebukes, in the words of the Bible, He rebukes the demon that's in him, and the demon comes out. Man, we have a name for everything today, don't we, in the medical field? We have a name for everything. But yet Jesus refers to it as a demon. Rebuked it, and it came out. And he's telling us if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we're going to do the same thing. But we've got to be ready in season and out of season to be able to do this. That's why we need to put prayer and fasting into our regular routine. That has to be. You want to have the power of God in your life? You want to see that power come through you and be released? You need to practice what the Bible says to do. Man, if I'm going to be a good basketball player, baseball player, football player, chess player, I've got to study it, I've got to learn it, and then I've got to practice it. I can't get good just sitting back in the bleachers. Man, we got a ton of people that are awesome, awesome. What do you call those people? They're lazy boy armchair quarterbacks or whatever. Yeah, man, they can tell you how to do everything sitting in a lazy boy. Well, it's another thing to know it. It's another thing to do it, isn't it? But we can. Do you believe? I ask you here tonight, do you believe that you can do these things that Jesus did? He tells us we can do those same things if we have faith the size of a mustard seed. But here's the kicker. We need to put it completely in his hands and ask that his will be done. That's my heart's desire. My heart's desire is to know that God knows better than me what needs to happen. That's my faith. And I trust in that. And I believe in that. And I believe that's why right now God has answered prayers for me. Consistently and persistently, and you've heard me share this about Kenzie, on the way to the daycare provider, asking God to bless her with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to read, to write, and do math, and be able to do it so it blows everybody else out of the water. And she's doing it. She's doing it, and I praise God for that. And the other thing, I praise God for what I see happening in this young girl. I'm going to give testimony to this right now. We sat with Harold and Thelma, and they got a good taste of another outbreak of Kenzie's today. See, Kim and I we're in new ground right now, new territory. We have not been away from home with this little girl this long. And this little girl is designed around routine. And you break up her routine, and we don't know what to expect. But that's how she's geared. And so she's come up here, she's in this camp setting, and she's starting to get a little rebellious and starting to see some things happening. And you know, today, it didn't matter to me what you thought. But when she sat down and she gave her mom a look, I could have done something, I could have said something, but I knew what I'm dealing with. Right then and there, I said, "Look, Kenzie." And when I put my hand on her shoulder, she knew what was coming. She reached up and put her hand on my arm because she knew I was praying to rebuke the rebellious spirit that was at work around her and in her, causing her to act this way. And we go after it. And Jesus is there to deliver. You saw it firsthand, didn't you?
Amen.
I believe that because I'm seeing it. It's activated. And I trust in it. But I have to practice it to put it in action. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everything I can to bring my kids up in the ways of the Lord so that they don't just hear it, they experience it. We lay hands on our kids, always have. We pray for them. My kids, before they went to a sporting event, before they went anywhere, we gathered together and we laid hands on them and we prayed for God's hedge of protection to be around them, and we also prayed for God's blessing to be upon them. And not only for sporting events, but every day going to school. Parents, if you're not doing it yet, it's not too late to start. And kids, I'm going to tell you right now, my two older kids, I prayed the same thing, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They both graduated, excelling in honors, capturing scholarships to make it obtainable for them to go to colleges. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops how good God is, because that's a result of prayer and God's blessing. I'm not going to brag on my wife and myself. We're going to brag on God. And it's not too late to start that with your families. Kids, I'm telling you what, if you're struggling in school, if you're struggling with issues, take it to God. But don't be a hypocrite. I'm going to tell you right now, young people, the same as I tell the old people, people will not respect you when they see you floundering back and forth in how you're choosing to live your life. But once you make a stand to decide to live a certain way, people might not like it, they might not agree with it, but they will respect you for it. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. We've got to start adapting the faith that God has for us into our life. It's a gift. It's there for us to obtain, isn't it? God is so good. He has everything laid out for us right at our fingertips. We just have to go after it. Now, I can stand up here and I can preach and I can get charismatic and I can carry on. What is it that you like? Do you like a show or do you like the word? Amen. But yet, when it gets right down to it, we find ourselves walking away. I don't know, that I just didn't get anything out of that. I have yet to come to the Bible and not be able to get something. I have yet. But I can tell you, when I come, I'm coming looking. I'm coming desperate because I want it. I don't care who it is that's preaching. I don't care who's doing the worship. Man, in our church, I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't like this style. Oh, I don't like this style. Oh, I don't like this style. Man, Lord, give me the humbleness and the humility to continue to disciple Christians so they mature. And also help me to mature. That's what it boils down to. It's learning to look for God in everything. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, it says, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I love to hear that. Man, as the days are going by here, that's one thing I can tell you I appreciate hearing. There's more and more pages turning here in the Bible. When we're back home in church, we've got it on PowerPoint, and you don't even have to have it in front of you, right? So it's good to see these Bibles getting wrinkled up and used up. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, it says, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum.
I did that this morning myself, on simple words. Don't feel bad.
Now when Jesus had entered, give it to me, Tom. Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Here's a centurion coming to Jesus, asking for the healing power to be released unto his son. He didn't even need to have to go see it. He trusted and believed that because Jesus said it was going to be so, it was done.
Amen.
It was done. Now, I remind you about some of the things that we've talked about here the last few days, last few nights, about what happens to us when our faith gets weak, about what happens to us when we begin to get watered down from one generation to the next on how we're going to serve the Lord. And we see that here in verse 12 when he says the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. It's because they're not producing fruit that they're going to get cast out into outer darkness, isn't it? When we fail to do what God wants us to do, be what God wants us to be, What is he going to do? He's not just going to sit back. He's going to deal with us. The Bible says there are conditions. He'll prune us because he loves us. But if the pruning doesn't work, and we're not wanting to be with him, he's going to let us go our way, and we're going to be on our own. Does that make sense? This relationship value thing with Christ is the most important thing you're ever going to do in your life. The most important thing you're ever going to do in your life. But it doesn't stop when you become saved. It just starts. When we ask Jesus to come into our heart, that's the beginning. And that's when we need people to come alongside us, to be there with us more than ever. Pastor Dave, when you were talking about people in our life and that prayer that come to mind, well, right away, I don't know why, Keith, you reminded me of this first thing when you came into camp. My memory went back to my youth leaders, Fred and Connie Bear, in that Presbyterian church. And when they came in, I shared, if you were at the conference this morning, you heard me share that there was an explosion of attendance that happened at Lafayette Presbyterian Church when I was a teenager. I mean, the church couldn't hold all the people. And things were exciting. Things were great. God was moving. People were wanting God. But then some of the people said, hey, that's too much for us. And one of the verses that we shared and talked about this morning was people having a form of godliness but denying its power. And I think of Fred and Connie Bear and how faithful they were. Our church at Edmore First Church of God has all kinds of money. It didn't. But that don't mean nothing to me. So what? Do you know how many Sundays go by that this little girl sitting right here is the only one in children's church? Man, that weighs heavy on my heart. Because all throughout Edmore, there are all kinds of young people there. And I can't figure out, Lord, why can't we reach them? Lord, what do we got to do to reach them? And as a pastor, I struggle with that big time. Youth are heavy in my heart. And I don't know what your churches are like. But as I watched this afternoon unfold with some of the kids, and I forgive me, the young people, our young adults, I see them running around, I see them talking, I see sisters talking, I see people making friendships, having friendships, and I just think, wow. And then I sat down with somebody at supper and the talk came up, how much longer will these camps be around? Who's going to be here to keep them going? How will they exist? You see, we're desperate. And people, we need to activate our faith in Christ. If we've got faith in Christ, we need to activate it. I think it's time that we begin to get serious about our walk with God. And you're saying, Pastor, well, what does that mean to get serious? It means getting out of our comfort zone. If God's taking you into greener pastures, you better follow. Even when it doesn't feel good. If God is calling you out, how is God going to give you more if you can't prove to be faithful with the little that he's given you already? If we are failing to hear his voice, how can we respond to his voice? And then when we do hear his voice and we're being disobedient to respond to it, what can we expect? It's happening all around. It happened with me. I'm explaining and describing things to you that I dealt with myself as I came through this relationship value thing with Christ. We can all point the fingers at everybody else. We can blame everybody else. We can blame everything else. But when it comes right down to it, what's the church going to look like 20 years from now? Pastor Bill, what's the projection? What do you guys, I mean, hey, if I'm going in to get a bank loan, they want to know a 5-year projection, they want to know a 10-year projection. Well, I'm here today as a pastor wanting to know, what does our state project 5 to 10 years out what the church is going to look like?
In Michigan, we're projecting a loss of one church a year.
One church a year. In the church of God. It's time we start praying. Not going out and trying to do everything that makes it look like we're righteous and holy. It's time to start praying. Things happen when people start calling on the name of the Lord. Things happen in a mighty way. This centurion could see how important it was to call on Jesus. And he wasn't a Jew. And yet he saw how important Jesus is. And what he held, and what he could do. I want to read to you now from John chapter 4, verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick, Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see my whole household. Now, I'm not just talking my wife and my kids. I'm talking my whole family. I'm talking my brothers, my sisters, my in-laws. What's it going to take for people to believe? How hard do I got to plead? And you know, I can come to this camp meeting and we get all messed up. We get to thinking we've got to plead and exhort. But here, you guys are faithful. You're here. But what do we have to do to reach those that aren't? Isn't that what every pastor I've talked to since I've been in ministry is so busy putting together programs to try to reach the community? And some of them are making a difference. Pastor Bill, you shared with the one down southwestern part of the state that's up to 400 people now and the fastest growing church in the state. Well, what works for that church is great, but it may not work for us up here. That's why it's so important that we get together and pray. Right. We've got to come together and be in one accord and pray. But if we can't get together because we're in disagreement with everything in the church and we don't like this person or don't like that person and we don't get along with this and get along with that, how can we be effective? And see, right here it starts. Right here with us. How are we going to go back into our churches when we leave this week? How are we going to go back? What are we going to go back with? What are we going to do when we get there? And what are we going to say? I don't know about you, but the best thing that happens in my church is when the people get together and they say, "Pastor, we need to pray. Pastor, what can we pray for you about? Pastor, what are the needs in the church that we need to be praying about?" And they're not wanting to be nosy. They're not wanting to know individual people's needs. They're wanting to know, what are the needs of the church? that we need to be praying against. And in the first session here, prayer was emphasized, and it was emphasized how important it was to be praying when you say you're going to pray. Now the next thing is, do you keep track of God answering your prayers? And how does he answer them? You see this man here? He kept track. Okay, when did my son get healed? At the seventh hour. That lines up with when I talked to Jesus. Some other things that I see that are important here that line up. Every person going to Jesus was desperate. And they weren't worried what other people thought of them. They were worried about the need that they were going to him for. And they were desperate. Wouldn't it be grand to be in services where people are coming in wheelchairs and leaving those wheelchairs behind them and walking out? Wouldn't it be grand? People coming in with oxygen bottles were able to get away from those oxygen bottles. Wouldn't it be grand that people that are dealing with health problems and sicknesses were coming forward to be prayed for? And God's touching them and answering them and healing them because of the prayer of faith. There were three pastors up here anointing with oil the other night, and they were praying, and I believe in every one of them that they have faith the size of a mustard seed, that the people that they anointed and the people that they prayed for and the prayer that was being offered was effective. I believe that. And I'm going to continue to believe that, and I'm going to continue to listen and look for the miracles that are going to come from that, because I know they're going to happen. I know they're going to take place. How far do you have to look to see God at work in your life? To see miracles? How far out do you got to go to find a miracle? Who can speak of a miracle right now just in the last... Somebody share with me a miracle that God did.
It's a miracle we're here tonight.
Amen. Tom?
Heat stroke in 98. Statistics on where how bad I was were not good.
So back in 98, God performed a miracle to keep you alive. Yes. Praise God. Gloria.
Years ago, I was on my way, actually, I was on my way to Parkston, and I was looking for my daughter in desperate. And I had semi come off of the road, and the team was truck in front of me. And the team moved over.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else over here. Amen. You see the miracle work of God in that surgery. Amen. Yes. Your eye was protected from a dog bite. Amen. Yes.
When I was 14 years old, I had a ruptured appendix. And because the pain was in my back and not in my belly, my parents didn't take me to the hospital for 3 days. Mm. And when they operated, I had gangrene and peritonitis both throughout my entire system. And I praise God, He healed.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else with a miracle? Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes.
And a miracle of two or less prayers. I got a leg. It was to be amputated in 6 weeks. Got healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Amen. 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 Anybody else with a miracle? Yes, a miracle. With you, brother. We're with you. It's the presence of God. See, this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. And it's something that we're not experiencing enough of, people. Praise God for this brother right here, right now. Praise the Lord.
Well, I was in the emergency room. Pastor Earl Hamsite was our police captain. He came in and anointed me. And you know, very many police officers, they don't believe too much about church. Mm-hmm. I wondered what was going on with the oil and the praying. So I went to the doctor after I got in the hospital, and he had a student for
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is the second time I've heard about Earl Van Scythe in the last 2 hours at this camp tonight. I was out there in that gazebo and his name came up. Am I right?
Yeah.
I don't think this man was associated with the conversation out there at all. That's the second time that man's name came up tonight. Praise God for his power. And I praise God for the miracle I'm experiencing right now, seeing you. The same as what happens to me. Weep in the presence of God.
Amen.
That is an awesome thing. That's a miracle in itself when we humble ourselves to praise the Lord. And I know for a lot of people that's a hard thing to go through. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Anybody else with a miracle? Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else with a miracle? Yes.
1968, age 16, I had one more second accident. Brought back, given up on. Doctor said it was the higher power of the nerves why I was there. Didn't give up on.
Pronounced dead. And here today, and that was what year?
1968.
Did not have the technology in 68 to bring somebody back to life that we have today. Reb, I know you've been used by God, and God is using you and going to continue to use you, and I believe that that miracle happened for what he's going to do and what's yet to happen. God has plans for us, for each of us. We have another miracle. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else with a miracle they want to share? You see, our kids, the church needs to hear these things. We need to know that God is alive. I'm going to come to you in a second, Thelma. Ruby?
Last fall, I was on my way to North Carolina with my daughter-in-law. And she was going driving a semi went past us and pulled right off into us. So she said, what do I do? I said, pull up on the shoulder. So we all
Thank you, Lord, for that protection. That's a miracle. Thelma?
We were in Guatemala, and we were warned that the cartel didn't want us there. And we had a van, and somehow they loosened the lug nuts on our wheels, and we didn't know it. And we took down off down the switchbacks of the mountains, and there was no place to stop. The wheels were going like this. We got to the bottom after about 4 hours of that, driving as slowly as we could without getting hit. Two lug nuts on each wheel.
Mm.
We got to the bottom in Guatemala City.
God performed a miracle to get you back safe. Amen. If y'all could see what I'm seeing right now. I'm listening to the miracles being expressed in this room. Are you seeing how these young people are hanging on to every word in this room right now? That's a miracle. I'm just in awe of watching these young kids right now listening to each of us describe how real God is and what God has done for us. This is not story time. This is the real thing. And this is why I do what I do, because God has made a difference in my life. Most of you have all seen Kenzie already. But man, is she a miracle. Not because she's just here, but because most Down's kids have all kinds of issues that require all kinds of surgery. My wife is totally up to date on all this stuff, but I'm dumb to it. And I can't believe, I'm just amazed that she is God's creation. And we haven't had to endure heart surgeries and all kinds of other kinds of surgeries that go with Down's kids. But prayer has been activated in our life from day one of knowing that we were having a child. I'm telling you here tonight, people, if you will pick up the sick, which may be spiritually, emotionally, physically, and be willing to carry it to Jesus and drop it through the roof. Desperate enough to drop this man through the roof. Now, this came into our room, I don't know what day it came in, yesterday?
Tuesday.
This is what the children are doing. And this is the ministry that's going on with the young kids. They're being taught what faith is. Do you notice it says faith on the bottom side of this? And it's faith that says that the adults had faith enough to know that Jesus had the power to heal. And why did they have to do this? Because the house was so crowded that they couldn't get through the doors to get to Jesus. And so they said, if we can just raise him up and go through the roof and drop him down and get him close enough to Jesus, we know that just being close enough to Jesus, the power is going to come out of Jesus and he's going to be healed. Amen? I want to read the scripture that applies to that right now. It comes from Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it says, and again he entered Capernaum. Give me another pronunciation.
Capernaum.
I just love playing with that word. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. I love that expression. Jesus is in the house. And they're saying, they heard he's in the house. Man, when you hear that God's at work and something's going on, are you willing to go after it to find it and be a part of it? And that means even in your own church, there may be parts of your church that things aren't happening, but yet there are parts that things where God is really at work. Man, are you willing to get behind that and support it? Be a part of it? Lift it up in prayer? Do whatever you can to help out? Not try to control it, but be a part of what God is doing to perform these miracles. Because when Jesus is in the house, we don't need anything else. Verse 2 goes on to say, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, I think that's amazing. He doesn't come right up and say, you're healed. He says, your sins are forgiven. What's more important, to be healed or to have our sins forgiven and get to heaven? Amen. That's the priority. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? How many times we find ourselves being like the scribes? Why? God doesn't heal like that anymore. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his heart that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Right there, that ought to be the kicker for each of us. Don't go there. Don't begin to think doubtful thoughts. Jesus knows them and sees them before you ever speak them. Learn that. Trust in the Lord. He says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. What are people seeing with us when it comes to Jesus? When we go out into the world, are people saying, we've never seen anything like this before? Or are we becoming so conformed to the ways of the world that we aren't even expressing who Christ is to anyone around us? Man, I'm telling you what, I got all the time in the world to wait. I don't even know the gentleman's name. But I got all the time in the world to wait for somebody to get their act together to be able to break through the tears to share how good God is. That's what I got time for. Because that same Jesus that healed you is right here in the midst of us to heal any of us. We just have to believe it and go after it. You're being challenged all this week, people, about your faith. It's going to be your faith that's going to sustain you. Everything to do with your family, everything to do with your jobs, everything to do with whatever you encounter, your faith in God is what's going to sustain you. Amen? Amen. And God's saying right now, it's time to shut it off. We're going to land this plane. I want to thank everybody in here tonight that shared your miracle. And I know that there were other people that didn't share a miracle, that miracles have happened. God is good. And all the time. Would you please stand as we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for placing your thoughts and your words upon me to give to your people here tonight. And more than that, Lord, thank you for speaking through all these people out here tonight that are gathered here today in your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving them the courage to share about how great you are. Lord, I don't need to say anything more because you're in the house. And that's all we need to know. We just want to be with you. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for meeting us right where we're at in our life right now. Continue, Lord, to minister to us and take care of us as we leave this place. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.